episode 9.
This is episode 10.
Oh my god, episode 10.
God, she doesn't even know what episode.
I don't, but it's our birthday episode. It's our belated birthday episode for Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I was like, not our birthdays.
No. My birthday's in February.
Mine's November.
You can get me Amazon gift cards to pay for all the movies that we're watching.
You can pay my rent.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
November 8th, guys. Venmo me. It's Rachel-Leishman. Venmo me. Any time of the year you want, just send me some money. Every dollar counts.
This dollar is for Harrison Ford.
I'd be like, thank you. I'm the next charity case.
Speaking of charity.
Charity gazes.
Oh my god, that was the best segue. I didn't even mean for it. You're amazing.
You know, it's the improv.
We have some Harrison news and that is charity related.
Yeah, mine's about a hole.
Wow, please elaborate.
Harrison Ford, a long part-time Jackson Hole resident.
Oh, I get it now.
What? This is so dumb. Sorry, I'm like reading the first sentence of this. It says, Harrison Ford, longtime part-time Jackson Hole resident, supporter of causes and friend of Chewbacca, has been named the latest recipient of the prestigious conservation award. This is basically a conservation award for like all of his activism, correct?
Yeah, for the environment.
Yeah. Because like
in his hometown, but he lives there. He has a house.
This is
there.
In Wyoming, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a house in Wyoming. But I like love that it says friend of Chewbacca. And Chewbacca is spelt wrong.
No.
C-H-E-W-B-A-C-A.
Oh, that's
Chewbacca has two C's. Yeah. He is a very big activist about what we need to do to save our planet. He did it on Ellen. Because Ellen brought it up and he said, the planet doesn't need us. We need the planet. And he's very right.
Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of documentaries. He's done a lot of work and not just in name only, but actually like himself, you know, going to places and helping the environment. It's really, I think, inspiring.
Yeah, he's a big ol' inspiration.
But something else that he did, and I'm pretty sure that this isn't one of his charities, but is actually a charity from his manager, who has since passed away, a while ago, but still was a big proponent in the beginning of his career. And we're going to talk more about her when we have more of a gap, when we have less to talk about, kind of go back and talk about his early career. But Fred Roos actually introduced them. And she was an agent, she became a manager, and they were really close, you know? So this is sort of a really great thing, is that there is a place called Ride On, a therapeutic horsemanship. And they help special needs adults and children with horseback riding, because it's very therapeutic to them. I think it's a wonderful charity, actually, from what I've been reading about it. And they opened a new facility in California, and it was named after Pat. And he actually went and they had a fundraiser, and they dedicated the grand opening of this education and therapy building, and that was in June.
Yeah, and please tell everyone how much it was for a ticket.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so for those of us who are not familiar with fundraisers, they're usually
normally like thousands of dollars.
Very expensive. And I was just saying before we recorded, I once went to Bette Midler's charity, Huluween, which is a great thing for the environment in New York City. And after that, they started making the prices really expensive because all of her fans were going. And they were trying to get, you know, people from sort of bothering her. I did not bother her. In fact, I refused to meet her that way because people were really sort of crowding her, which was great because then I actually got to meet her later on in a much more private, like, you know, professional way. Yeah, so it was $200.
I'm so mad.
Would you have really, where would you like use your credit card and like gone
out? Yeah, I
would
have charged it. No, I mean, like if it was in Connecticut, yeah. Like we thought it was in Connecticut.
We
did
think it was in Connecticut because it looks like that they have a facility in Connecticut as well.
I wouldn't have flown to LA.
And I apologize to Ride On that I don't know that much about you guys. I looked on the website. I tried to find out as much information as possible, but I failed.
Support Ride On, guys.
Yeah. So I just thought that was really great that he did that. And we'll talk more about Pat and her relationship with Harrison later on. And then he did something that was quite surprising to a lot of us. He did his first voiceover gig for the Star Wars Force Awakens Lego game.
I didn't know about this.
You didn't?
No, I was MIA from the world for like 3 months.
Oh, well, he said the sentence involving the words Wookiee cookies.
Why?
Because he's contracted. I mean, on one hand, though, I think it's great that he's doing something like this.
Yeah, he's old. Happy. He doesn't care anymore.
I like to think he cares a little bit.
I think he's just old. He's just like, whatever.
I think he's also under contract.
Well, yeah, but he's also old. That's why he does this kind of stuff. He's like, I'm 74. Whatever.
So I showed my mother Star Wars The Force Awakens for the first time. She had never seen it.
How'd that go?
Really well. Only a couple weeks before, I, of all people who hate spoilers and maybe go a little too overboard about stopping people from talking about them, accidentally told her that Han Solo died. I couldn't believe it. I had just forgotten she hadn't seen it. I don't know. And I just sort of blurted it out as I was talking. And then I went, oh, God, I'm so sorry. So that was unfortunate. And I wish that I had been live tweeting it, but the problem was is that we started watching it on my computer and then something happened and we had to finish it. We really had to watch most of it on my phone, so I wasn't really able to use anything because the phone was being used and the computer was acting weird. But the short of it was like about 5 seconds before Harrison Ford showed up, she was like, where's Harrison Ford? And of course couldn't say anything because it was like right about to happen, like the Millennium Falcon was like being like, you know, put into the ship. And I was like, just wait. And then right before Rey was able to, you know, to have the lightsaber come to her for the Force, when Kylo Ren's trying to get it, she was like, why isn't it going to him? Why isn't it going to him?
You're like, just wait a minute.
I know. And so I literally pointed and I went, because he is a beacon of the dark side. And she, and then as it went to her, I used my hand. I went, beacon of light.
Did I ever tell you about the time my brother took my mom?
No, no.
Star Wars? So they went opening weekend. Obviously, I went up here and they went back in North Carolina. And my brother said they were sitting in the movie starts and it's the opening crawl. And my mom is just talking to him. And my brother is like, finally looks at her and goes, shut up and read. She goes, why? And he goes, you need to know how they set up the movie. Like, she had seen every Star Wars and had no idea she had to read the opening crawl. And so he was like, Mom, you have to read it.
Kind of adorable.
And she was like, why? And he was like, because if you don't read it, you don't know what's going on. She goes, you don't know what's going on? He said, no, I've never seen it before. And it was like one of those moments where we were like, oh my God. Like, no, we don't know what's happening.
Oh, so I thought maybe he took her to see it again.
No, this was like the first time he had seen it.
I would even know not to take my mom because she would also probably talk. Not talk during it, maybe ask me a couple questions.
Well, that's the thing is, she wouldn't ask questions. She just, after the movie would, but she just didn't understand that like, you had to sit there and read it or you didn't know. She just assumed we knew what was happening.
Oh, I gotcha.
Because she was like, well, you've seen them. We're like, Mom, this is like 30 years later. Like, no one knows what's going on.
Well, did I ever tell you the story of like how I kind of freaked out because the trailers were too long when I went to see it? So
no.
I really was in denial about how excited I was. And in fact, I told myself, I was like, oh, well, Harrison Ford is probably not in the other ones. I didn't think he was going to die. I just thought, oh, he's probably not in the other ones. I'll see this one. And then I'm not going to have any interest in seeing the other ones. Ha ha ha. So the last trailer that was shown was just the scene from Zootopia with the sloths when it takes them forever to do everything. And we had so many trailers that I got really super antsy. And my friend leans in and she goes, this is killing you, isn't it? And I'm like, it just needs to start. Just why is it not starting? It needs to start. Like, I just kind of lost my patience and sort of freaked out. Luckily, it was the last trailer, but like, I didn't think it was funny at all because they were just taking forever.
I just remember like when I saw Force Awakens, it was just so funny. So I think I've told the story before, but I don't remember. But there was just like, beside me was a little boy and his dad, like the whole family. But the little boy was beside me and the dad was beside him. And then my friend Lauren was on the other side of me. And so we're sitting and we were watching it. And it got to like the Han scene, the Han and Ben scene. And as soon as we realized what was happening, the whole like the kids, dad, me and Lauren all went, no. Oh my God, no. And
we
like,
were doing, oh shit, oh shit.
We didn't say shit.
Don't go.
Like, oh my God.
And I don't talk during movies. I do not talk during movies. Although I have to say, I accidentally read a spoiler and I knew it was coming. I didn't know how, but like, I accidentally read this thing, but I told myself, oh no, that's not a real spoiler. It's not true. But of course, when they start to get on the platform thing, I was like, oh God.
Oh no, we knew the minute he handed Chewie the detonator.
Oh,
The whole row was like, oh my God. And it was so funny because me, Lauren, and the dad.
Oh, yeah, that all is went, a little obvious.
No. No. Like the minute like we knew, and the little boy goes, what do you all know? Like the little boy was so annoyed because he had no idea what was going on. And like all the adults in the row like knew. We were like, this no, I don't want to watch it.
That was like when I saw Usual Suspects. I got it like 2 minutes or a minute before like the facts came in, so I went oh, and my friend's like, what? And I'm like, wait, oh my God, oh, and then the facts came in.
Well, it's like I think it was presumed innocent. Like when I figured it out, I was at the gym and I was like, oh, I know. Like, and it's like you have that moment where you're like, ah, I figured it out.
No, and then my friend and I also like we had our heads lowered. Oh shit, don't go out there, and like sort of half watching it like with like our eyes up. It was, and I never talked during movies. It was bad.
After the movie, as it was, like I said goodbye to Lauren, I looked and both of us had like our mascara was like running down both of our faces.
Well, the funny thing was is that then when it got really close, it was obvious what was gonna happen, but I didn't think it was gonna be so violent. So well, not violent, but like violent for jarring, character that you love, jarring. So when it happened, I squealed. Like, I'm the only one who did it.
Oh, I screamed no.
It was like the whole, it was bad.
My room was just very like, no! Like, everyone was like upset about it.
But you know what was interesting about watching it with my mom, who did love it, was that I got another clue into the fact that I brought up during Star Wars that I think that she had or has a crush on Mark Hamill. Because she also said, Mark looks really good, even with the beard. And I was like, you have a crush on Mark Hamill.
That's, I think it's just very funny because that scene, my best friend watched it in California before I got to see it.
I know. I would have done it too. If I had known you, I would have, yeah.
Well, no, and she said when she watched it, she said, oh no, Chewie, because the next shot is Chewie, and then oh no, Leia, and then the minute after she went, oh God, Rachel. Like, it was like she, her brain went, this, oh my God, Rachel's gonna be devastated. And I was like, that's a good best friend. Like, her first thought was like, Rachel's gonna be upset.
I mean, she knows you really well.
Oh yeah, well, because she said, oh no, the Leishmans, because she knew me and my brother.
Oh, did she?
Were gonna
be
like, she said, oh no, Rachel, and then she went, oh no, Patrick, because it's like me and my brother are like, she was like, those two are going to be so upset. Because he loves, like, Indy and he loves Han.
Yeah.
But I'm more of, like, a...
We should have your brother Han on the show.
Oh, God, he would hate this.
Oh, he'd hate it? Okay.
I know he wouldn't. I would.
Oh, you... Well, then maybe we should.
I would absolutely hate it because he would just make fun of me the whole time. And I'd be like, stop. So
you wouldn't hate it in, like, a funny hate it way. You'd really actually hate
no,
it.
No, I'd just be like, stop. And he would just be like... He would just make fun of me the whole time.
All right, well, maybe
but
we'll
we would,
save it.
But I might... I'll have him call in for Last Crusade.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, we should do that.
But I also wanted
to share. So I write a lot of things in my phone notes because mm-hmm. I'm a writer. And I didn't even know I did this, but I was trying to find the scene that I wrote. It was driving me crazy. So I went like really far back in my notes trying to find it. And apparently, and there's a date here, actually. Let me see. Let's see the date. No, October 25th. So I think maybe the trailer probably had just dropped.
I already had tickets at that point.
Yeah, probably so did I. So based on that first sort of big trailer, this is what I wrote as my predictions. I didn't even know I did this to what I thought was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
wait, give me your phone. I want to.
You want to read them?
This.
Okay,
no,
okay. That's actually a really good idea.
I'm confirming
the date.
The date. Where is it? I moved.
If you do the arrow back.
Oh, there.
It's at the bottom.
So, on October 25th of 2015, she did this. It says Star Wars. So she got that right.
Oh, yes.
It says Rey is a Skywalker. I don't like that.
No. Okay. As in related to them.
Okay. I like that.
Because you know what I think.
Yeah.
Which we will talk about in major depth.
We both think the same thing.
We do. Yes.
Han and Leia have a kid or kids, but are currently not together at the start of the film, but will come together as the film goes on. Conflict and they fight, kind of.
Yeah, I think that was pretty good.
Kind of. They have had an emotional trauma that split them up, like losing a child. Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he will tell, yeah, that didn't happen. He will tell Leia, I love you, and she'll say, I know.
Which now I'm glad they didn't, because it would have been hokey.
And then one of the original three will be killed.
Yeah, so that's pretty...
pretty good.
Pretty good from a trailer. I'm very proud of myself.
Fuck you, Kylo Ren.
Yeah, well.
Kylo Ren. It made me mad about Adam Driver in general.
I'm warming up to his performance, actually. No, now that he's great.
I love Adam Driver. I just now hate him because he killed Han Solo.
Well, one of my first thoughts when the movie was over was, oh my God, Adam Driver, people are going to hate you.
And what's so funny is Disney thought people were going to love him. And everyone goes, no, he killed Han Solo. Why would we like him?
That shocked me. They felt that because...
he was a tall white man that people would love him?
No, because Darth Vader was so popular. They felt like the...
Darth Vader is not popular.
Apparently he is, merchandise-wise. Merchandise-wise, he sells really, really well. I could care less.
The thing is...
he had no depth to me in the movies. I did... at the end of Jedi, I was so confused as a little kid. Like, I was like, what, is he, like, nice now because he took the mask off? Like, I didn't understand. It didn't make any sense to me why he changed. Like,
the thing is, they thought Adam Driver would be Loki. They thought he would be the equivalent of Loki, where he's the villain, but people, like, love Loki.
They do, but Loki didn't kill one of our favorite characters.
Yeah, the thing about Kylo Ren is Kylo Ren was fine until he killed Han Solo.
Totally.
The minute he killed Han Solo, everyone goes, I don't give a shit about you. And granted, I think what they're doing is, I think Han did it. I think Han killed himself because he knew.
Oh, I do not agree with that.
I think the whole plot is that Ben has to defeat... he has to defeat the dark side, but the only way you can become a Sith is to kill somebody. Like kill someone you love.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like someone of significance you have to kill, basically. Yeah. And I think that's where he said, I need your help. I think it was him being like, I need you to help me become a Sith so I can do what I need you to bring it to destroy the dark side. And so I think Han helped him kill him.
Do you think he's a double agent?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't agree.
I think Kylo Ren's a double agent. They're not going to do the same redemption arc. They're not going to do the same thing where it's like, oh, he's a bad guy and he turned. No, I think he's a double agent. Like, I think the dark side tempted him and he realized that he needed to become a Sith. And like, I think even Luke,
that Han's life is not worth that.
Yeah, it is.
If he loved him, he wouldn't kill him just to do that.
To end the dark side where it's all they've ever fought for. I think so. But I think he said, I need your help. I don't think Kylo Ren meant to kill him, because even when the lightsaber goes off, you see in his face that he's like, what? Like, I don't think he did it. I think Han turned the lightsaber on himself, killed himself, so then Ben could become a Sith Lord.
I don't agree. I don't think that Han, who does know a lot, I don't think that he would know that much.
He does, because they did the whole, like, it's true, all of it. They,
yeah, no, I think he knows everything. A lot, and maybe that's not the best explanation, and I'm not prepared. No. It's just, to me, that's not an interesting story.
Oh, I think that's so much more interesting than just, he's a bad guy and he needs to be redeemed.
Far too far-fetched to me. It seems far too complicated to believe that, for me, that Han... figured that all out already. Not that I'm saying he's not smart.
Han's been included in it. I think the rift between him and Leia and Luke and all that.
I definitely don't agree because they set up the whole point, and it's even in the script that when he sees Ben, he hears Leia's words in his head, so to speak. If you see our son, bring him back. He goes after him for the love of Leia and the love of his family and his son. He deeply cares about his son. I don't believe he was a bad father. And we can talk about more of that when we get to Force Awakens. But there's so many moments. You see him deciding whether he's going to go after him or not. They set up the fact that Leia says to him, you know, please do this. Not to mention, you know, her saying that she knows that he is light in him. She just knows it. Here's someone that Han knows is strong with the Force. And if she thinks that, it must be right. Of course, if you go back, she doesn't really say that she knows it. She just, you know, she, I forget the exact line, but I think it's up to interpretation. I think that that's a cop out.
No, I think a cop out is making it a normal redemption arc like the rest of them.
Well, we'll see
that's
if that's
literally
what
gonna copying
do.
The movie.
That that's is
the
true.
Thing that, like, if you do a normal redemption arc where he's redeemed the same way Vader was, it's just, it's a cop out. You copy the same movie. I think this is a much more redeeming and richer storyline because I think it shows, like, the bond that Han and his son actually had. Maybe not to the level that, like, he knew from the beginning, but I think in that conversation especially, you can hear he's asking him for help. And Han knows exactly, like, they know all about the Siths and what it takes to be a Sith. Like, they've been around Luke. They know what happened with Vader. Like, they know the story. And I'm sure when Leia found out her father was Vader, went and looked, the kind of person that Leia is, went and looked it all up, which would mean Han would know exactly how Vader became Vader. I think that in that conversation, because if you listen to it, it's very like, I can't do it. I'm being
It would make
trapped.
The whole
I'm
movie implausible
apart.
To me. Completely implausible.
I completely disagree. Because it's like, he's saying I'm being torn apart. Because he's being pulled to the light and he's being pulled
to the
dark.
Oh, I agree with that, yeah.
And he says, will you help me? And I think that line, the will you help me, is so much more richer than just help bring me back to light. No, like, he's saying, I need help to do what I'm meant to do, which I truly think it's meant, he's meant to, like, destroy the dark side, because they wouldn't create this character, think everyone was going to love him just to be the bad guy. I really think that Kylo Ren has a deeper storyline than just, I'm the bad guy. Like, I think his whole story arc is
I do think he has a deeper storyline. I do agree with that. I think there's more to come and there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. But it would just seem to me that it was coming out of nowhere. And one of the big things that we also
talked
about.
But that's this whole franchise. If you think about it, every big thing that happened in this franchise came out of nowhere. So it would be true to Star Wars. Because I'm Your Father came out of fucking left field.
Okay.
No one knew it. Luke and Leia being the twins came out of left field. No one knew about it. If that happened, it would, like, you'd be like, oh my God, I didn't even think about it. Everything that happens in these movies comes out of left field. And that's what makes them so good. But if you recycle the whole same story, nothing's exciting. But that's why everyone's like, oh, she's Luke's kid. She's Luke's kid about Rey. And I'm like, no, it's so much more exciting if it's Han and Leia's.
Absolutely. Not to mention the fact that it seems too obvious for her to be Luke's.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah, but I'm afraid to go into this because I don't want us to lose information for when we get to that movie.
We won't. I'll find stuff to talk about with The Force Awakens.
Because I could talk about my reasoning behind why I think that Rey is Leia and Han's daughter for like 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, same. But I just think having Kylo Ren be very aware of, like, I have to become a Sith to destroy the dark side makes that such a richer story. And the other way is lazy storytelling. If he just becomes a Sith, kills his father because he's an asshole, like, it's lazy storytelling. It's like, here's your clear-cut villain, here's this. And I was like, the way they're writing that, they don't want him to be a clear-cut villain. They want him to be torn apart. They want him to be, like, someone you kind of feel bad for. And I was like, and if he's becoming a Sith and becoming dark and doing all this stuff to defeat the dark side, completely different story, so much richer, such a better character than, oh, I'm just evil.
So then what's the conflict between him and Rey?
It's the Jason and, to me, it's the Jason and Jaina conflict.
I do agree. But that would mean that he really is evil. That he feels that struggle, that he is not a double agent.
But I don't consider him a double agent.
Okay, then that's different because that's the part that I think is impossible.
No, I don't think he's a double agent. I think that Han knew when he said, will you help me, that it wasn't help bring him to the light, that it was, I need to, like, become...
I don't agree, but I don't think that that's implausible.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't mean a double agent in the sense that everyone knew, because I was like, that would make no sense.
That's what wouldn't make sense to me, is that if we came back
Han knew.
Now I get it.
I'm saying, I don't think Han knew to the level of, like, he knew the whole time. Like,
but
I think
in the moment he thought, if I sacrifice myself,
yeah,
I'll save my son.
Yeah, I know he said something like that, which I was like, I don't know why I said that. I don't agree with that. I think Han knew in that moment, I have to die in order to help my son.
Okay, and I think we can both agree, which is a little bit of your idea and a little bit of my idea, is that Han wants his son to be saved. And whether we hate Kylo Ren or not, that seems to be the end game, or else Han's death was for nothing.
That's the thing, though. If Kylo Ren doesn't need to be saved. If he did it to try and destroy the dark side once and for all,
your end game is okay.
Then he didn't die for nothing. He died for the greater good. If Kylo Ren just gets redeemed, Han still died for nothing. Like, Han Solo's death is like, cool, he was a casualty, and he, Kylo Ren redeemed himself and is fine, but Han Solo died for no reason. Okay.
Whereas I feel that if he is torn, and already, even in the script, and as well as the acting, is, like you were even saying, is he was surprised that he does not feel better after killing his father. If that is what, you know, brings him more towards the light because of this divide in him, then I do feel that, I don't know what I'm trying to say, that...
You think if he ends up redeemed and back in the light, that Han Solo's death was justified? Where I disagree.
I do, but I don't think he should live.
He will.
Here's also the issue, too. We have so much story that we don't know. If any of these ideas, your ideas or my ideas, that's why I think I'm a little reluctant to talk about it in a little more detail, is the threads connect things in a way that are believable to me, I will love it. Because
that's my whole
execution
thing is
better than concept. That is my always been my theory. My favorite show is The West Wing. Everyone said, oh, political shows don't work. Oh, but The West Wing worked. Why? Because the execution was great.
Yeah, but at the same time, Star Wars isn't about an execution. Star Wars is about, what are we going to throw at people that makes them be like, what? What? And then you go back and watch it and you're like, okay, I can kind of see that. It's not so much about the execution of it. It's the, oh, I can kind of see that. It's, if you watch A New Hope, in no way is it clear that his kids are like Luke and Leia.
Well, yeah.
They decided in the third one.
But this is different. That's the thing. They had the advantage of having done it all together. I think this is more sophisticated storytelling. And in the same way that George Lucas wanted to do Star Wars to do a better act and a better version of Buck Rogers, I believe that this is exactly what's happening with Star Wars. You have people who grew up on something are now going to take it and make it more sophisticated.
But I think and in better that production sophistication, value. If they, it still needs to have those moments. Otherwise, it's lazy storytelling and it's not Star Wars.
And JJ has said that his favorite moments are things like when out of nowhere, I'm your father, which makes you go, oh my God, the torture scene with when Leia's the sister, that moment. Oh my God, the torture scene with Leia, that was his daughter. Like, that's really messed up.
But that's why the prequels failed. There was nothing shocking in the prequels because everyone knew what happens. So it's like the prequels were like, okay, and you know what moment shocked everyone the most? When Anakin really started to become dark and killed all the younglings. That was the moment that everyone was like, oh shit.
I've only seen the first one.
Okay, well, Anakin kills a bunch of little kids.
Yeah, I know, but that. I read the wiki.
But that's the moment where everyone's like, oh my God, he is Darth Vader. Like, and that's what made him, like, that was the most Star Wars of the prequels, was Revenge of the Sith, because it has those moments where you're like, oh my God. Like, there's a moment where he just starts choking Padme. And you're
seen that scene.
Holy shit, like, he's gonna kill her. And it's like moments like that. Otherwise, like, if he would have choked her to death and she would have died and then they had the kids, so much better than her dying of a broken heart, because that's fucking dumb. But like, the moments
that, I'm glad you agree with that, because I've seen scenes from the end of the movie. No, not only that, but like, I think that they say that, but she eventually died because of what had happened previously.
Oh, I wish he would have just choked her to death. I wish if they were going to do that, choke her to death, and then someone has to run and like save the babies.
Okay.
Such a better story.
I believe that she didn't die of a broken heart. The only way that I can reconcile it in my head
was
she
almost choked to death and then gave birth.
Like, exactly. And so maybe she got like
an aneurysm
or something, but like, that's the only way that I can reconcile that making any sense.
But
and then it becomes like a myth. Oh, she died of a broken heart. No, yeah, actually, it's a medical reason.
But the Revenge of the Sith is the most Star Wars-y of the prequels.
And I hear people say that's usually their favorite.
Yes.
Like, that's interesting. I should probably watch them eventually.
Yes. But
I could barely get through the first one, so it was really difficult and I gave up.
That's why I think there needs that moment needs to happen. And Han Solo being killed by his own son was that moment in The Force Awakens.
Very true.
Where you were like, oh, no, they're going to do it. And it's like, it was that moment. It was the I'm your father moment of The Force Awakens was Han Solo dying. Because you didn't think they were going to actually kill him, and then they kill him.
Well, yeah, like I read it. And even though what I read also, I read pretty much the beginning of the movie and kind of the end without the circumstances. So when the movie started, and it was kind of what I read, I still got to the end and went, this is not going to happen. No, well, that's like, it's not going to happen. And then I figured it out. Yeah. So should we talk about Frisco Kid?
Maybe.
So Frisco Kid came out on Harrison Ford's 37th birthday.
So how old was my mom? 26?
It was 1979.
My mom is 66 this year.
I'm really bad at math.
74.
Should we pause and go to a calculator?
No, that's 8 years. So, if he was 37, that means she was 29. My brother was 8 years old.
And his kids were 10 and 12.
My mom and Harrison Ford are the same person, guys.
Wow, I can't believe you revealed that on the show.
Sorry, guys. My mom is Harrison Ford. But yeah, no. So this is his birthday episode because this movie came out on his birthday.
We unfortunately is a belated, but I thought it would be cool to have a birthday episode because we're having a birthday contest and all that stuff.
Yeah,
happy birthday, boy.
So the Frisco Kid is interesting.
Would you like to do your summary?
Sure. So Gene Wilder is Jewish. Surprise, surprise. In the movie as well as in real life. But Gene Wilder, he is this little Polish guy who speaks Yiddish.
And, yes, they were speaking Yiddish.
And he has this little terrible, terrible Yiddish accent.
Well, say why you think it's terrible.
Because half the movie, he sounds like Gene Wilder. He doesn't sound...
Yeah, it's inconsistent. But when he does it, it's a Yiddish accent.
Yeah, but kind of. But he like...
Because he's not doing Polish. He's doing Yiddish.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't sound Yiddish. It like... He'll go, I went to the store. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And it's like the whole movie. He sounded Yiddish
to me.
I don't... agree, but like literally he starts yelling and it literally sounds like he's in Young Frankenstein. It sounds like that scene where he's trapped in the bookshelf. Put the candle back, and he like it sounds like that where he's just like yelling, and it sounds like Gene Wilder and it doesn't sound anything like a Yiddish accent, and it was driving me crazy. And they clearly just didn't get a dialogue coach because Harrison Ford's accent was terrible. And it's like, they just were like, you're going to be Southern and you're Yiddish. Figure it out. And then it was before the era of YouTube
stories. I don't like Harrison when he does a Southern accent. It doesn't seem genuine to me.
Because no one taught him. That's the problem.
Also, everyone's screaming in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much screaming.
Everyone's just angry in the Wild Wild West.
But anyway, here's summary.
So he tries to, he's on a boat and he gets off the boat and then the boat leaves him in New York.
There you go. Yeah.
And he like gets off at Ellis Island, and then the boat just pieces out to go to San Francisco without anyone.
I don't believe it would actually be. Well, I don't think it was actually Ellis Island.
No, that's where they all came.
It's 1850.
Yeah, no, but where everyone still came in, I think, was Ellis Island. They didn't sign him in. It wasn't Ellis Island we love and know, but that's where the port is. They didn't just pull up into the Hudson Bay. Like the port is in Ellis Island.
I just don't think that was. Anyway, you'll continue.
And so he meets some guys who are crying and said, I need to meet my mom.
Yes, it was established in 1892.
No, I'm not saying that they went into actual Ellis Island. I'm saying where boats go.
Okay, all right.
Is all right. Not Hudson Bay.
Listen, it's not the most accurate movie. He mentions Czechoslovakia and Poland and Czechoslovakia were not actual, like, their own nations at the time, so... It's not, you know.
It's like the Gold Rush era.
Yes, exactly. Everyone's going to the Gold Rush.
And they didn't name cities in California that I'm pretty sure weren't even like established cities yet.
Yeah, you would know that more than I would.
Like, I'm pretty sure there's a couple cities that they say, and I'm like, that wasn't established back then.
Well, I do know that today people hate San Francisco being called Frisco. Yeah. Right? People they hate that.
They don't even like when you call it San Fran.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll just be
call
careful.
It San Francisco. Call by its name. But,
a lot of syllables.
But anyway, so the whole movie is him trying to get to San Francisco. And these guys rob him and take all of his money and beat him.
Ugh.
And they take the Torah.
Lorraine's father from Back to the Future.
What?
The main guy is Lorraine's father from Back to the Future.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
He looks familiar, so I looked him up.
Interesting. But they go across the country. They steal his little pendant thing, and they throw the Torah on the ground. So
well,
he goes
it's
and,
on the Torah. It's part of the Torah.
Yeah, that thing. I don't know. I'm not Jewish.
Oh, I'm helping. I'm sorry.
I don't know what it is. It's a metal.
Yeah, no,
metal,
I'm correcting in a helping way.
A metal plaque.
The Torah is an important part of the story.
Well, yeah.
I am here for all of the Jewish stuff.
He's a rabbi. He needs, and they don't have a Torah in San Francisco. So he's bringing the Torah and being the rabbi of San Francisco. So he's like, then he gets on this, he collects all of his belongings that these guys who stole his money threw on the ground along with the Torah. Collects them and he gets to these Amish people. And the Amish people,
well, he thinks that
he thinks they're Jewish.
Yeah, which is pretty funny.
And they're Amish. And so the Amish people like help him and give him some money, and he goes and gets on a train so then he can go work on the railroad for a little while to make some money to continue the journey to San Francisco.
He has no money because he had to get off because of the Sabbath. Again, Jewish stuff.
Well, yeah, he had to get off of the train because you're not allowed to travel on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. But so then he works on the railroad to make some money. But the on the train, Harrison Ford appears, robs the train, pretends there's a guy like holding them up hostage, and he like jumps off the train, and like it establishes that he's not a good dude. So then shit happens. He becomes friends with Gene Wilder, and then Gene Wilder and Harrison Ford make the journey together, and like Hanover Street, Harrison Ford becomes the like companion that doesn't want to go and doesn't want to do it. Like the whole movie, he's like, I don't want to be there. I'm going to leave you. But then he doesn't leave. He follows him around. It's like bad improv 101. Like if you don't want to be in the scene, then leave. Mm-hmm. Where the whole movie is him not wanting to be there. And he just keeps going. And I'm like, leave. If you don't want to be there, leave. Like you're not, it was failing because Gene Wilder's character was not giving him anything to stay. So when he was like, you're my best friend, I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. Never had a best friend before.
It's stupid. So then they rob a bank. Gene Wilder gets pissed. They're trying to run away from the people, but he won't ride.
He has to wait.
He'll walk.
He has to wait till the sun sets.
Yeah, but he'll walk, but he won't ride the horse on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So then they're going along and they meet a bunch of Native Americans, which are all played by white people.
Funny enough, though, I can interject here with some trivia. Obviously, the leads are very much white people, but the extras,
Although those are actually Native Americans.
Yeah.
But as someone whose grandmother has Native American blood in her, it was kind of offensive to me that they were white people.
Oh, it was very offensive.
They were white people. And so the guy literally looked like Lorne Michaels with a tan and long gray hair.
So he was Jewish. I'm kidding. I'm so
Jewish.
Kidding. Yeah.
No, it was offensive. So then the Native Americans, which because of when this movie was made, they were Indians is what they were called, mm-hmm. not Native Americans. But they honor the Torah.
Well, he loses it and the Native Americans find it.
Yeah, and that's the whole reason he goes to the Native Americans, because they take the Torah, and the Native Americans, like, they end up appreciating the teachings. He helps them. They realize he's a very spiritual, like, good guy.
Well, he's going to almost get burned alive to get the Torah back.
And then they realize, like, oh, shit, this guy's legit. And so they help them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they...
Well, he gets high.
Oh, yeah, he gets high and... passed out and he's in a hospital. So then they go and he's mad. Harrison Ford's mad at him because he wants to send his money back to the bank. And so Harrison Ford's like, you know what I'm going to do with my money? And he goes and he's like, I'm going to get myself up.
He gave him, Gene Wilder did not actually rob the bank.
No, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, but he still gave him half the money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he was watching the horses.
Just
but he,
to be clear.
Harrison Ford's like, I'm going to go get myself some drinks, gamble and get myself a woman. And so,
a big-breasted woman.
So, Gene Wilder's just sitting in this bar while Harrison Ford's sleeping with a woman upstairs. And then he sees the three men who stole all of his money. And he taps the one and he's like, I want my $200 back. And the guy, like, laughs at him and turns him away. And then they all start fighting. And then Harrison Ford comes down in, like, a one like a unitard sleepy thing.
Yeah.
And shoots.
Long
the,
underwear.
Shoots, and everyone looks at him, and he's like, put the money on the thing. And he gets all of the money back and more for Gene Wilder.
That's actually my favorite scene.
Yeah. That makes the most sense of you're my best friend. And that's when it should happen, but it happened way before then. But, so then, they fight, like the three guys find them because they make it to the beach.
Oh yeah.
So then they're so happy.
They're wet, wearing long johns.
The gayest
wrestling
scene I've ever seen.
Saw the scene and went, why is there no fan fiction on this?
Literally the most homoerotic ocean. It was like From Here to Eternity, but for two dudes.
Yeah.
Like that's straight up what that scene was, From Here to Eternity, but Gene Wilder and Harrison Ford need to be making out on the beach. But so they're like, it's weird. And then the three guys come back and they're like, oh, look, we found you wet, which was even weirder.
I think the idea was that they were not with their guns.
No, but yeah, he's like, ooh, we found you wet. And I was like, ah, it's weird. So the three guys then, like, they get in this scruffy battle because Harrison Ford and Gene Wilder don't have their guns. But then Harrison Ford gets his gun and kills the one.
Mm-hmm.
And though he shoots the main guy badly enough that he rides away. And then the third one is left there. And they both run out of bullets. And Harrison Ford had just gotten shot in the shoulder. And they both ran out of bullets and they don't have... There's one gun and it's like between Gene Wilder and the bad guy. And so Harrison Ford keeps yelling like, get the gun. He's going to shoot us. If you don't kill him, he's going to shoot us.
That scene drove me crazy because the entire scene, Harrison Ford just yells, get the gun, kill him. Like,
it's the same thing over and over.
It should have been just silent. That whole scene should have been silent.
Yeah. And so he grabs the gun and Gene Wilder like is basically waiting to see if the guy is going to try and kill him.
Because he's a rabbi and he feels that he can't kill someone.
So he's like waiting and waiting and waiting. And then when the guy finally is like reaching in for the gun to kill him, he shoots him and kills him. Because he's like, it's Gene Wilder's like justification of like, that man was going to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he feels bad and he's like, I can't be a rabbi anymore. So he goes to the house of the family he was supposed to. And there, like the whole time he's going, there's a woman he's supposed to marry there.
Yeah.
But he's going to the house that he's supposed to be the rabbi for. And he just drops off the Torah. And he's basically just like,
falls in love at first sight.
Yeah, love at first sight with the other daughter, not the one he's supposed to be.
The nice daughter.
Who kind of has a Yiddish accent, but kind of doesn't.
Yeah, she doesn't have one.
Oh, she does every once in a while. It's weird.
Oh, well, then, yeah. She worked a lot in the 80s, that actress.
Well, so then he brings the Torah, and he tries to be Southern. It's weird. Mm-hmm. And so then him and Harrison Ford are having dinner together. The girl finds him and brings the whole family and says, oh, are you the rabbi? And they look at Harrison Ford and they're speaking Yiddish and he's like, what? And Gene Wilder translates and then admits to being the rabbi and explains what basically tells them, like, I can't be a rabbi anymore, I killed somebody. And but the reason he explains is because the guy who got shot but ran away comes back to kill Gene Wilder and Harrison Ford, because Harrison Ford like leaves the restaurant and he like the guy knocks him out.
Yeah.
And so he goes back in the restaurant to get Gene Wilder, and they go, and the one guy goes, you killed this man's friends, both of you outside. And he basically is gonna make them duel, and Gene Wilder like won't pick up the gun. And so then it ends with like Harrison Ford threatening to like shoot the guy, and Gene Wilder says, I'm being nice to you now, but the next time you come back here, I won't be that. Like, basically,
he also tricks him.
Yeah, but he's basically like, if you want to survive, don't ever come back here.
Yeah, he stands up for himself.
Yeah, and the guy leaves. Gene Wilder marries the nice sister with his best man, Harrison Ford.
Because they're besties now.
Yeah, and Harrison Ford stays in San Francisco, and that's the movie.
Yeah. So, originally, Harrison's part was supposed to be played by John Wayne.
John Wayne got out of that real fast.
Yeah, he did. There's been like different reports. Like, some say that he said yes and then backed out. Some said he just didn't want to do it. But unfortunately, the director, Robert Aldrich, who did The Longest Yard, Dirty Dozen, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, was really resentful of this. and kept comparing on set Harrison's performance to John Wayne. And it was another, just like the movie beforehand, miserable experience with a director. And it was terrible. Gene Wilder's biography, which is an amazing biography for anyone to read, talks about it very briefly, and he had no problems. He enjoyed working with him. He and Harrison used to play darts in the bar after, you know, filming. But the big reason that he picked the movie was Willard, his son, who was 10 at the time, really wanted Harrison to do it so he'd be home because he'd done so many movies overseas and they were filming in mostly California. And this was interesting that I didn't know, is that it also, he felt his son, I guess he has 10-year-olds read the script, his character reminded him of Bud Abbott from Abbott and Costello, who apparently at the time was one of Harrison's favorite actors, Bud Abbott.
That's actually very sweet. It's a crappy movie, but it's a sweet story.
Yeah. And he had a lot of movies that came out that year, so just sort of give people kind of the trajectory of it. So Apocalypse Now came out May 10th, 79. Hanover Street comes out on May 18th. Frisco Kid comes out on July 13th, his birthday. And then More American Graffiti, which we'll talk about really briefly, comes out on August 18th. It made $12 million at the box office. It was not a commercial success. Reviews were like, it's a good premise, but badly executed. The only people who seem to really like it are people who put it on lists like the 25 essential Jewish movies. Which
so
I
like
realized...
this and Yentl.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, no, Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, yeah, Fiddler.
Yeah. But I realized, I thought I loved this movie. And I think as a kid, I was just really excited to see something that had Jews in it, and it's a different kind of comedy that doesn't really happen anymore.
It's a Jewish movie that's not about the Holocaust.
Yeah, that too.
Like, interesting.
So what really did you think of it as a whole?
Nah, I could live without it. I love Gene. I thought I would love it a lot more because I love Gene Wilder.
I see why he did it. I mean, to give people a sense who are not familiar, Gene Wilder was a huge star at this time in 1979.
Yeah, this was after Young Frankenstein.
It was after Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
Also Silver Streak, which
this was before Willy Wonka, though.
Was it? I forget when Willy Wonka came out.
I think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was the early 80s. I think this was before Charlie.
I actually know the guy who played Mike.
Or not
in
Charlie,
that.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, is that one?
Let's see.
I never understood. That's a whole other story.
I thought that was the 70s. Let's see. 71. Yeah, Willy Wonka 71.
Oh, okay. So yeah, he's been around.
He's a huge star. In fact, on the poster, Gene's name is above the title, even though in the movie they're billed together, which is nice. I'm a huge Gene Wilder fan.
Yeah, I love
Gene. I played Gilda Radner, and I feel like I kind of fell in love with Gene Wilder from learning about him through her. And if anyone cares, probably not, that when I met him at a book signing, his blue eyes are amazing.
I've loved, when I was really young, my favorite movie was Young Frankenstein. I love Gene Wilder, but that made me think I was going to love this movie a lot more than I did, just because there are two men that I very much love, and I just feel like it was just weird points in both of their
careers.
Yeah, it wasn't,
like they said, like badly executed. Like it was really hard to believe that they were best friends.
Yeah.
Even though I was like, I love these actors so much, but I think they have chemistry sometimes, but I just don't see where that came from.
And it was too much Harrisford being mad at him and not enough sweet moments.
And I think that could be an issue with the director. It was also very dated. You could tell it was an older director. Although even though when we go to Empire, older director, but not dated, like understands the, you know, what's happening in movies. It just shocks me when I see these movies from 78 and 79 and go, this is the same time that Kramer versus Kramer came out. Like how is this possible?
That was like a weird time in cinema, because that's when cinema started changing.
That's true.
I think that's why movies like this fail and aren't that great.
And I also think why Harrison doesn't really gel with some of these directors who maybe have an old style of doing things is that they don't like him because he is more sort of the new actor, more looking for sort of a modern way of doing things. Even though Gene Wilder is a method actor and he went through Strasberg and did some Utahagen, but he wasn't a fan of that. It's just got so many problems, even though it's got great people in it.
Yeah.
And it's sad to me.
But let's talk about the one scene he's in that's very good. In More American Graffiti.
Yeah, so More American Graffiti, which I hated.
I watched Harrison Ford's scene.
which I said you should just do. It's written and directed by Bill L. Norton, who mostly had done television and continues to do television. Nothing wrong with that, though. Variety said that it was, which is actually, I think, pretty nice, the most innovative and ambitious film in the last 5 years, but by no means successful. Harrison plays a cop.
He plays the same character.
Yeah, but he's a cop now.
Yeah.
So the same character from American Graffiti. Yeah. He didn't want to do it at first, but he finally decided to do it because of Fred Roos and also as a thank you to George Lucas, even though George Lucas said he had no interest because he didn't have an emotional investment in it anymore. Everyone came back, but I'm going to pause for a second because my brain... Everyone came back but Richard Dreyfuss because he had just won the Oscar. So,
what did he win an Oscar for?
The Goodbye Girl.
Oh, that's right. I never understood why he won an Oscar for that movie. It's a good movie.
Well, he's great in it, but it's him being Richard Dreyfuss. But Richard Dreyfuss is so charming.
Richard Dreyfuss should have. Did he win for Mr. Holland's Opus?
No.
Should have. It's one of my favorite movies. I love Mr. Holland's Opus. He's wonderful. Anyway, this is not about Richard Dreyfuss.
Pretty much just stops one of the characters and they throw pot out the window and stuff and like arrest someone. And I think he's better in that one scene than in Frisco Kid.
He's better in that one scene than he is in Hanover Street and Frisco Kid combined.
Because he's, and it just, I think, shows something that he still had to find his character type, which is sort of this striking, forceful, commanding character.
Yeah. And then, I just think, I'm just excited because now we're going to enter into actual Harrison Ford.
Yeah, movie star Harrison. We're going to go into movie star Harrison. I do want to sort of briefly just talk a little bit about Harrison and Judaism. Cool, everybody. Because someone actually asked me, or asked us, I answered it, obviously, as the Jew.
As the resident Jew on the podcast.
On Tumblr. Anonymously, of a famous quote from Inside the Actor's Studio that he said, which is, as a man, I've always felt Irish. As an actor, I've always felt Jewish. I wanted to know what that meant, which also made me realize, there's sort of this style of comedy and filmmaking, which is sort of dying out in a way, which is more like our parents' generation and their parents' generation. But also not being Jewish, you might not quite understand. So I personally, this is, again, my feelings. If other people do not agree with them, that is their opinion. Just want to put that out there. I'm not very religious, but I do consider, and I think most people do consider, Judaism an ethnicity. My family might be from Poland and from Russia, but it's our ethnicity. It's different. And Harrison's mother is Jewish. He's in some of the research I found said that he did go to temple sometimes, but it sounds to me more like, it's his family. You know, he wasn't really brought up particularly. In fact, if you'd ask him what his religion was growing up, he'd say Democrat. Yeah. So this is sort of an interesting movie. I never thought I'd hear Harrison Ford say, Oy Gavolt in a film.
I wear a yarmulke. That quote to me is just like,
yeah, talk about it.
As an actor, I feel Jewish. It's like the way I'm taking it, and I could be wrong. You're the resident Jew. You can tell me if it's wrong.
Say your thought, and I'll,
I think it's just because Jewish people have a way of like attacking something that they want.
Well, it's an ethnicity. It's a comfortability. Is it?
Well, no, I don't think it's that. I think it's him saying like they have a way of attacking something that they want. And it's like when you're Jewish, you're like, oh, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to go for it. Which it's like a lot of other ethnicities aren't necessarily that way. Italians are that way. And I think that's why I'm very much that way. It's like Italians and Jews and everyone from that area of Europe, just kind of like not Central Europe. Like basically like if you, as you're working your way over, when you get over near Jerusalem and like Greece and Italy and all of that, like... Do you know what part of the continent I'm talking about?
Okay.
That whole area. Like, not...
The Mediterranean? France.
Yes. Like, the Mediterranean area of Europe, they're all very driven people. Like, it's all a community of people who are like, the minute they see something, they want it, they take it. Where the Irish and the Scottish are not that way. The Irish, the Scottish, and the British are very like, nah, whatever happens, happens. Where Jewish people and Italian people and Greek people are not that way. They are very like... they're very determined and they're very loyal and they're very like, this is what I want, this is my family. And I think what he's saying is, as an actor, I feel Jewish because he's like, I'm very like, this is what I want. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I need to do to get it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to support the people I need to support. But as a man, it's like, because I kind of feel that way in a way that's like, I'm very Italian in the way I view my family and the way I view what I want in life and all that kind of stuff. Because Scottish people are more laissez-faire and they're like, no, like, I want to enjoy this. And that's how Irish people are too. They just want to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're a strong people, but we're also not as driven and crazy as the Jews and the Italians.
It's funny that you bring...
I understand it because I feel...
It's funny that you bring that up, and it was not something I thought I was going to talk about, but I've heard Jewish comedians in England talk about that their sense of humor is very different from the American Jewish sense of humor, because the American Jewish sense of humor tends to come more from Eastern Europe. So that I'm really trying to do some research in. Like, I've written essays about vaudeville and George mm-hmm. Burns and Gracie Allen because I'm writing a play on them. So, like, I'm sort of entrenched in a lot of that. And I also just find ethnicity and where that comes from fascinating. But I personally think that it's sort of twofold. I think part of him is sort of making a joke, because during his time, and you could say even today, but mostly, you know, during the start of Hollywood, most people who were in Hollywood, who were running the studios, were Jewish. And it became sort of a joke. You know, oh, well.
Well, yeah, I think it's also part of that. Like, I think it's part of Hollywood is run by Jews. Still, yeah. To this day, it's the same
I'm trying not to say that because it sounds, but.
It doesn't sound about that. Yeah. It's the truth. And it's like, the Irish and the Scottish, you will never find. I mean, like, there are Irish and Scottish people.
It's still an ethnic group. During vaudeville, most people who gravitated towards show business and vaudeville and things like that were Jews, Irish, and African Americans,
mm-hmm.
because it was a way to get out. It was, you know, sort of, so they also are sort of, you know, brought to show business. But I think it's that, but I think it's also that you work with someone like, I find it very interesting, may just be a fluke, that Empire and Indiana Jones, two Jewish directors, mm-hmm. he does not feel comfortable with directors that don't want to speak with him and talk about the role. Now, part of that is also him not being a big actor at the time. But sometimes you just meet people that have a familiarity that you grew up with, or your family, or your mother, and you get each other, and you understand each other. And I just think part of it is that.
I think you're thinking way too much into this quote. I think it's literally just like the simplicity of like, this side of me is driven. Because that's like the Jewish mentality is driven, and it's the Italian ways to say.
No, honestly, I didn't. I started thinking about it because we got the question on the Tumblr, and then it became, I really need to really write something. Like, I took my time before I answered.
But that's
it.
What I'm saying. I don't even think you needed to do that. I think it literally is just as simple as that. Part of one half of him is very is a driven. Ethnicity and not ethnicity, nationality. What you know, what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like. Very driven people, and the other part of him, not so much. I'm not saying the Irish and the Scottish are not driven. I'm half Scottish with a little bit Irish. It's just that what I've noticed, especially with my Scottish family, is like they're more laissez-faire about things. Like they're like, oh, it'll happen. Like, don't you worry. Like, it'll get done. It'll be a thing. Where the Italian side of my family is like, oh, it got to happen right now. We got to do it. You got to go. And it's like, and that's very much how the Jews are. And it's like, that's why New York is all concentrated of people being like wah, wah, about everything, because it's Jews and Italians mostly.
Yeah, but they're Jews all over the country.
No, but I'm saying like, that's why New York is has that reputation, because they're all Jews and Italians. Some of them are Italian Jews, and it's like, oh, you got like double the like.
We know what the joke is, the difference between Jews and Italians, the food.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it's all my friends, it's so funny when people are like, are you sure you're not Jewish? I'm like, no, I'm Italian. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense then. Like, I was like, I grew up in a very Italian family.
I'll repost my answer, which is much more articulate, on the Tumblr and link it to Twitter. And eventually, when we have a website, I'm so excited. We'll have it on there too. So now we're going to say goodbye to you guys, but we're really excited because in August we are going to be talking about.
Oh, I was like, what are we talking about? We're going to talk about Empire.
Empire Strikes Back.
It's on my wall in my bedroom.
Which is really exciting, and I think so interesting, because we're about to exit Harrison Ford, the semi-successful, unsuccessful movie star, to actual movie star, which I had no idea before we started this journey. I thought he, after Star Wars, he was just a big old movie star. And that was not the case. It was Empire Strikes Back and then Indiana Jones that did it.
Indiana Jones was really like...
I knew that was
what kind of did it.
Yeah. Well, but like, Empire also, like, he's so good in Empire.
But I think those movies were like more still like, no, oh, dorky people. And then like Indiana Jones was what.
But take
like,
it. Take his performance in Empire and then compare all the movies we have watched over the last couple months. Yeah. And but I even, was shocked.
But even his performance in A New Hope is different than everything we've watched.
Yeah. So I thought from then on he was going to be spot on.
No.
I was shocked.
I mean, he still has... Rough.
He has his moments. He has his moments. Maybe we should be a little bit nicer about Frisco Kid. I mean, I think it's fun to watch on cable one day. Like,
I mean,
I'd rather
fine.
Watch that than Hanover Street.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's fun. But I'm just excited. We'll talk about Empire
next week. Movie star Harry
in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Sorry, I always do that.
Don't give these people hope.
Sorry, I just miss you so much.
Oh well, I'm not here. But in 2 weeks.
Empire Strikes Back. Cue music.
You know that note. See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.